We ended yesterday talking about the idea of dying to self. And the truth of the matter is, with some of you guys on the ground there, I guess I got to stand up here. I don't like standing up here. The truth of the matter is, Satan is really good at what he does. And deceiving is what he does best, which is lying. And I would guarantee that you think that you have life when you have life. But the Bible makes it clear, you have life when you don't have life. In other words, when you die, you get life. When you try and stay alive, you don't have life. And you will prove God right if you disagree with that. Because God's never going to be wrong in the Bible, never. And so it's important to understand that nothing, there is no life, there is nothing that happens that gives life that doesn't come from death first. When you look at the accuser, and that's what we were talking about yesterday, the next word that describes Satan is deceiver. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Do bear with me, for I feel divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. See, what Paul is doing is laying it out. You have to understand the seriousness of the evil one. He is exceptional at what he does. He's not just okay. He's really good at what he does. And Paul had a fear that people would begin to have their minds stray from where they should be, because Satan is so good at getting their minds straying from where they should be. See, it's interesting that this becomes the emphasis. Now, Eve, if you remember, when Satan came to him, we've talked about it, he just basically doubted God, made Eve feel like she was left out. If you ate from that tree, Eve, everything would be so much better. God doesn't want you to know that. No, that's not true. That's exactly against what God said. And yet it sounded good. And then he goes on to say, for if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. You know what? Someone can come to you and introduce you to something, and it sounds good, and you don't do anything. You say, well, that sounds good. Yeah, let me think about that. No, you know what, there's some things that are just very black and white in the Bible, and they're going to stay that way. And you can't change them for anything in the world. And when God says something, it is, period. No discussion, nobody can change what he wants. Not even Rob Bell can take the eternity out of hell. You can believe that a loving God would not punish somebody for eternity, but then you're not reading the Bible. And you're not understanding what love is. And we talked about that. The bottom line really is that in eternity, there's a heaven and there's a hell. If you want to start putting it in your human thinking, maybe you'll invent a purgatory. Maybe you'll invent some way for people someday to be able to get out of the eternal punishment that will come. But that's a lie, and that's a deception. And what it plays on is the heartstrings of the human. To be able to say, you know what, certainly God must have mercy and grace, and he does, right now, read about it. But there is a line in the sand. You've heard all kinds of lies, and the lies begin to build a theology in your head, but it may not be true. Some of you heard that God never gives up. He does. Tell the people of Sodom and Gomorrah that he didn't give up. Tell some of the people that God said, no, that's it. I am done. You are finished, that he doesn't give up. No, he does give up. The thing that's different about God and Dave is that he knows when he should give up. I mean, he knows. This person is not coming to me. What a waste of humanity. Bye. See, he didn't create you to just exist and then die. So when it becomes that, when you become one who is just existing, and that's what you live for, then you're kind of a waste of humanity. That's not why he created you. You say, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. Well, look in the Bible and see what it says. You know, I mean, the people of Israel, the children of Israel who didn't go into the promised land, what'd God say? Fine, Rome, waste your life, 40 years in the desert, die. I'm done with you. I'm going to give it to your children. Maybe they'll go in the land. Maybe they'll listen to me. Maybe they want the life that you could have had. But you said no. So go ahead and enjoy no life for the rest of your life. You see, what happens is we begin to build theologies around things that aren't true because we want to believe something, or somebody gets up and says something very clever, or they say something that strikes a chord with our understanding or the way we'd like it to be. Well, it may not be true. And the truth of the matter is God is very gracious, very kind, very loving, very merciful. He offers that to you. If you keep refusing it, then you're not going to get it. And there comes a point where if you keep refusing it, you don't get it. And I don't know where that point is, but he does. And so we understand that. What's going to happen is now you have Satan. He's not only the accuser, but he's the deceiver, and people listen to him. Revelation 12:9. The devil, or Satan, is the deceiver of the whole world. That's what it says, deceiver. Again, most of us don't grasp. Most of us do not grasp the immensity of the idea of deception. Because deception is counterfeit is deception. If you've heard of counterfeiters, they take something and they make it look real. And why do they make it look real? To benefit you. No. Why do they make it look real? To benefit them. See, they make it look real. Some of you will be in a relationship sometime and someone will say, oh yeah, I love you, you're just wonderful. Why do they make it look real when it's not to benefit them? They want something from you. See, deception is extraordinarily dangerous because not only is it not truth, but it is only benefiting one direction and they don't care. You think the person who counterfeits with $20 bills and pays the clerk at Walmart can give a rip about the clerk at Walmart or Walmart? I don't think so. They're thinking, isn't that funny? I just did something fake, they took it, and I got a product. And that's exactly what Satan does. John 8:44, he is a liar and the father of lies. Genesis 3:1, the serpent was able to lie. 2 Corinthians 11:13, this is standard procedure for Satan. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Now that's gotta drive you nuts. Satan actually will portray himself as godly. Yeah, that's what he does. And not only that, check Jude and 2 Peter. He gets other people to portray him as godly and his ideas as God's ideas. So it's very, very common for a person to believe something that's actually of Satan and not of God, and then to go teach it of God. That's pretty dangerous. That's why you need to know what the Bible says. It's really quite simple math. When you take truth and you add error to it, you get terror. And you know, Satan will not come after you with just error. He won't do that. He will mix it with something that's acceptable to you. He will mix it cleverly together so that somehow it looks good to you. Say, boy, that's going to be tough. Yeah, it is. What are some of the common deceptions? If Satan were going to deceive you, how does he do it? With what does he do it? What are his favorite tools? Well, we already looked at Eve. That's one of his favorite ones. He knew that Eve knew what God said. Satan knew what God said. He knew that. But he played Eve like a fiddle. He just said, you know, Eve, you're missing out. See, that's one of his tools. You know what each of you might feel at some point? That because you love God, because you love Jesus, because you're living right, you're missing out on something. There's people out there, these pagans are out there, and they're partying like crazy, and you're not in their party. So you walk around moaning and groaning about how tough it is to be a Christian and how it feels bad to be on the outside looking in, and Satan goes, yeah, too bad you don't join them. See, God really wants you to not enjoy life like they're enjoying life. Truth of the matter, they're not enjoying life. Number one, death, cause of death in college is suicide. Go tell them how much fun they're having. They're not having fun without God. They have to portray it that way, though, because they're lying, and they're following the father of lies, who's a deceiver, so it makes it look like they're having fun, but they're not. See, that's one way it works. Other ways, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Sorry. You've heard this from the time you grew up. You hang out with scummy people, you get scummy. You know, I mean, the bottom line really is, the people that you allow to influence your life will influence your life. I know that's very profound. But that's what happens. And Satan is aware of this principle. See, hanging out with somebody means spending time with them. Spending time with people means what? Spending time with them. See, that's not that hard. So if you're going to watch an hour of, let's say, Desperate Housewives, you just spent time with all those people. Now, believe it or not, it's going to affect you. It doesn't affect me. Yeah, that's a lie. It does. Every time, why do you think there are principles are in the Bible with Joshua that says, meditate on my word how often? Day and night. Pray without ceasing. Why are we told that? Well, because who you hang out with, what you fill your mind with, actually matters. It actually does. Last year, in the summer, there was a business guy up here, and he was telling me, he's a Christian guy, an elder in church, like anybody, saying, you know what, I'm not close to God, I'm not really walking with God. So I just started asking him questions. So who do you hang out with? I said, what do you mean? I said, I'm alone most of the day. All right, so who do you hang out with? I still don't know what you mean. Well, do you listen to radio? Yeah, okay, what are you listening to? Well, he says, I love country music. All right, beat me up, but don't listen to it anymore. Like, well, why? Well, because you're getting nothing out of it. What do you mean? I like it. Well, yeah, but you're just telling me something here. See, you're saying, here's the problem. I don't really love God. I don't walk with God. I don't enjoy being with God. And you don't want to even investigate why. The truth of the matter is, you're spending hours and hours hearing about how Billy Bob broke up with Susie Q or whatever. And you're listening to that all day long. How about if you just do this? How about this experiment? How about if you just turn the radio on some Christian station or listen to like messages or do something else besides listening to that, you know, listen to the Bible on CD. Just try it. So I saw him 6 months, 8 months later, and he goes, hey, you know that thing you told me about? And I forgot, actually, because, you know, I talked to a lot of people. I said, what thing? He goes, you know, about to listen. Oh, yeah. I said, so did it matter? He goes, huge. Absolutely huge. That's exactly what happened to me. It wasn't like it was all this. You know, remember, Satan can't come after you and say, evil, you want to do this. See, he doesn't do that. He goes, oh, no, 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 no. No, here's the line. You can love God and listen to this. And you know the truth is you can. You can eat meat offered to idols. The meat's nothing. Then why every time in the book of Revelation, in the Empire of the Bible, say, when it accuses the churches of something, it says, and they ate meat offered to idols. Because it did something. See, even though the meat was nothing, even though the music may be amoral in itself, you see, what happens is, here's the deception principle. When you fill your mind and you hang out hours and hours and hours with somebody who has a philosophy that's not godly, you will eventually have your morals corrupted. See, that's the way it goes. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he reap. Now, another thing that Satan would like to grab you with is, don't worry about it. In the end, everything's the same. No, in the end, everything isn't the same. See, I don't know how many people have the wrong theology about eternity. When you think about eternity, a lot of Christians think, okay, I die, go to heaven, everything is the same at that point. No, that's not what's taught. Indeed, when you die, if you're a believer, you end up in a place called heaven. God is your Father, you'll be with him. But in that place, somehow, somewhere, some way, there are going to be rewards. And those who are faithful are going to be rewarded, and those who aren't faithful will wish they were. Now you can say, what does that mean? I don't know. The Bible's not very clear about it. It's just very clear that it's going to happen that way. So you can believe whatever you'd like. You can believe that the day you die here, that God will automatically meet you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When you have to realize something, that God will never say something that's not true. And if it wasn't well done, good and faithful servant, he's not saying it to you. Now that's not a mean thing or anything else. That's the way it is. What's happened is that Satan has infiltrated our culture, infiltrated our churches, and made us believe something that's not true. See, he'll get in and say, oh, come on, don't you think that? And then, you know, somebody dies and we say, you know, I'm sure God's saying, well done. And I'd never say that. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to say that about me. God's not going to lie. So what happens a lot of times is we begin to believe it really doesn't matter in this life what I do. It doesn't matter. Since I am saved by grace, and you are, and I'm in God's family, not by what I do, and that's correct, then, you know, everything is the same one day. No, that's not taught. In fact, the Bible teaches very clearly in heaven there are going to be thrones, and certain people will be on them, and certain people won't be. I don't know how you get on one of those things, but, you know, there are going to be there. There's going to be those who have proximity closer to God and some that don't. I don't know how that works. There are going to be rewards. Check it out in the Bible. There's rewards. And again, I'm not sure how it all works, but it's there. So what we do is we start saying, well, since I don't want to be judgmental and I don't want to be, we don't basically talk about it because we think everybody will be the same. No, that's a satanic lie. Everything's not going to be the same. If you want to live your life right now ignoring God, and you want to live it doing your own thing, and you want to live it mixing truth and error, go ahead. But you're going to pay for that. That's just the way it is. It's not that God wants you to pay for it, just you are going to pay for it. It's like me saying, I want to eat cupcakes now and forever, and that's the only thing the rest of my life. I'm going to pay for that. You say, well, doesn't God love me? He can make the cupcakes turn into something really good, like vitamins. Well, he could, but he's not. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates he would. So I'm responsible, if I'm going to eat cupcakes the rest of my life, to have the ramifications of eating cupcakes the rest of my life. Yeah, but God could. I realize it. You got to get off the idea, well, God could, because you need to ask, what will he do, not could he do it? Because he's unlimited in what he could do. But what will he do? He limits himself. And if you want to go beat your head on a rock, you're going to get a headache. And even though God could pad the rock and stop it and everything else, that's the way he works. And don't be deceived. God isn't going to be made fun of. It's not going to be, you know, when God says something, it's not going to be that you can come and change it by what you believe and by what you do and say, well, I think it should be this way. Sorry, that doesn't work. God's not mocked in that way. He's not. He's God. When he says something, it's going to happen. How else is it deceived? 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. Another deception that Satan works on is very simple. When you become a Christian, then in life things get smoother and better, and it's for this world so you can be comfortable. No, the fact is that when you become a Christian and you actually love God and you do right, Satan unleashes, he hates you and goes after you. And life can get pretty rough. You take Stephen, for example, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel. I know some of these things turned out better than others in our human mind, but regardless, these guys took a stand. And they took a stand because they had to. Jesus himself got put on a cross. And what did he do besides love people and tell them the truth? So what can you expect if you love people and tell them the truth? Anything more than Jesus? No. Stephen listened to God. What happened to him? They stoned him. So what can you expect? It's not about giving you a life in this life that's better. It's giving you a better life. See, that's a little different. See, my life has purpose to it. And the two things that every human being screams for and wants is significance and security. And what happens is the Apostle Paul had significance and security. Oh, the thing he didn't have was good looks, health, lots of food, people taking care of him. He didn't have any of that. In fact, shipwrecks, beatings, that's what he had. But who's the guy that said, hey, in life, I've enjoyed life. In fact, die or stay? Boy, I can't even decide. I'd love to go and be with Jesus, but boy, I'd love to stay here and be with you. In fact, I'll write Philippians while I'm in jail. After I've taken a beating, after my body's falling apart. And I'll tell you, be joyful. Maybe those people who are thinking about committing suicide in college ought to read Philippians and find out how to have joy. Because what's happening is, see, there's a theory on why people in college are committing suicide like crazy. It's because they got there. Everything that they believed in is a lie. They've realized it, and they have no life, and they have no future, and they don't know what to do with it. And Satan goes, gotcha. That's exactly what I was hoping. It didn't happen all at once. I got you this way and that way and that way. Now you're in college and this is what you see. And here's how it happens. You see, when you believe Satan's lies, the end is tragic. It is. When you believe God, oh yeah, you might take a beating during life, but you can write the book of Philippians in the middle of taking the beating. You can do that. You can be joyful regardless of the circumstances because you understand things. See, that's different than how it works in the world. A man who is clearly an atheist or grossly immoral would not fool many Christian people. But a good moral man who seems kind and concerned and can teach error and fool the people, decent and devout people. You know, Satan understands the principle. Charles Manson can't come in here and convince you of things. But Mother Teresa can. By the nature of how they lived. And I'm not making a statement on Mother Teresa's Christianity. I'm just saying, by the way they live, one of them would have an impact and one of them would not necessarily. And that's Satan's tool. There are a lot of people that we would consider nice people that are just nice and wrong. And Satan knows that, so he uses them. For such men are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. The Apostle Paul is warning you. Look, there are people out there that act like they're actually in God's work. But they don't know God. In fact, it'll go further than that. They're actually being used by Satan. In any church you have been in, I believe that there are people in prominent places who are put there by Satan. And they're so good at what they do that you can't tell. I believe that here. I believe here there are people that don't know God that are planted here by Satan. Because when you read the Bible, you understand that. Satan does not leave places alone. And he is so good at what he does that he knows how to sneak in and be unaware and have people undetected. In fact, you need to examine your heart. David in the Psalms said, search me, O God, and know me. In Matthew, where Jesus said, one day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord. They will actually use the right language. Lord, Lord, didn't we work at Silverbirch Ranch, and didn't we help at Sunday school, and didn't we do all these things? You read that passage, and it's one of the most sobering passages in the Bible, because you and I are capable, we are absolutely capable of fooling ourselves. And there will be people who stand before God who believe that Jesus is their Savior and believe that God is Lord. They will use the word Lord. And he will say, I don't know you. Now, if that doesn't get to your heartstring a little bit, then nothing does. Because, see, that puts me and you in a category that says you are capable of being fooled. Are you a Christian or aren't you? I don't know. I've never stated that for anybody else. Because I realize how fooled you can be and how fooled I can be. Only you know whether you have ever really understood God's love for you and responded by allowing Jesus to be your Savior. If you've done that, you're in. You're in his family. I'm not talking about just going to heaven. You're in his family. And see, it makes a difference in your life. If you have no difference, if you are like the world, if you are deceptive, and then you got to ask yourself, what is it that I really am? See, I don't know that. I just know what the Bible teaches. And it teaches us that within Christianity, within religion, if you want to call it, there are plants, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are people that sound good that don't get it. And you're capable of being fooled because Satan is the master deceiver. In James, it says, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial, going through and saying, you know what, you are, here's the deal. The reason I have to tell you that blessed is the man who stays steadfast in trial is because if you're a believer, you are going to get beat on. If you're a believer that actually loving God and walking with him, you're going to find trials. See, it's a deception to believe otherwise. What's going to happen is, I have not known an elderly Christian man or woman that was not anxious to leave this world. Honestly, I haven't known one. And the reason is they see the world for what it is. They begin to say, you know what I see down here? Sin, despair, hatred. I see satanic. Get me out of here. I want to go somewhere where that's not going to be. See, they get it. Do they live their lives as if... No, they live their lives in an excellent manner. They give it to others. They start camps. They do different things. Why? Because they understand this is what it's about. If I'm going to be on this earth, I'm going to be used of God in some way, and I'm going to give of myself. If I'm not going to be here, better yet. Oh, that's very Apostle Paulish, who basically said, I'll stay here for your sake, but I'd just soon get out of here. Why? Do you see the sin and the ramifications of it that are out there? They're real. In the end, you know, God wins. Revelation 20:10. And the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and where they would be tormented day and night forever and ever. And Rob Bell needs to read that verse. Because it says forever and ever. And those people who basically believe that there's a time where this punishment will end have not read the scriptures critically. Remember, we started a long time ago talking about God is agape. He loves. He wants what's best for you. In that, he's developed systems with working parts that make a desired result. That's very simple to understand. He has churches, he has families, there's systems, there's a body, the body has parts, and the desired result is that all the world know him and live in a way that they know him and love him. See, that's the desired result. Satan understands God, he knows God, and he understands the desired result. And he is a master at this. He is a master at working the working parts. He's a master at trying to get us destroyed by destroying the parts that are supposed to mesh. You do understand that if I just told you all that and I didn't end with Ephesians 6, it wouldn't be good for you, because if you are a believer, God says, look, number one thing you got to understand, this isn't your fight. It's mine. You say, well, what do I have to do with it? Exactly. It's not your fight, it's God's. How do you win that thing? Let him fight it. When I let God fight the battle, we win 100% of the time. When I fight it, I lose. What do you mean, let him fight it? Okay, very simple. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. You guys remember that? Yeah. So, if God will beat Satan and I will listen to God, then I beat Satan. So my goal is to listen to God. My goal is to be next to God. My goal is to love God. My goal is to have God standing behind me when I do stupid things, because Satan won't mess with me when he's standing there. See, my goal is to know Christ and to make him known. See, that's my goal. My goal is to love God and love you. That's the goal. So when I do those things, I'm protected. I'm protected. Oh, then you won't get shipwrecked and beat. No, I didn't say that. I'd say that I would be able to write the book of Philippians after I did get shipwrecked and beat, though, where others are killing themselves because they can't find satisfaction in life. See, there's a difference. There's a contrast here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Here's your responsibility. God says, I can beat Satan. That is not a problem for me. I can beat him. Really? Yeah. So here's what you need to do. You need to be strong in me, because I can beat him. I know when he's lying. See, I know that. You don't. You need to be strong in me. If any of you want to be strong in anything, so there, I want to be known for being the best chess player in the world, you know, whatever. That's fine. Play chess. But if you want to be strong in something, be strong in knowing God. Be strong in walking with God. All of you can do that. There's not one person in this room that cannot do that. There's people that won't do that. But you're capable of doing that. Put on the whole armor. It says, you know what? You put on the armor. I'm not putting it on you. You take it. Put it on. Why? So that you can stand against his schemes. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know what? Some of you could agree with me or disagree with me. You go, Dave said this. You're not wrestling against Dave. It's not about Dave. It's not about Silver. It's not about your church pastor. You're wrestling against the evil one, and he's really good at what he does. Here's how it goes. Satan obviously would like to destroy you. The first thing you got to do is figure out that you're going to embrace truth whether you like it or not. That's the belt. That you're going to take that belt of truth. There is truth. I'm wearing a black sweatshirt. It's not green. It's not red. You have a lot of ways to be wrong if you describe it. There's one way to be right. One. That's it. There isn't 10 ways to be right. There isn't 50 ways to be right. There's one way to be right. What you need to do is find truth and then embrace it. And if everybody else says, no, that's not true, you go, I'm sorry. Truth is truth. And truth is always narrow. If you're eating eggs for breakfast, how many food aren't you eating? Well, no, that's very narrow, Dave. No, it's an egg. That's what it is. Truth is narrow. Don't get bothered by when people say, I think it's not narrow. No, it is. It's narrow everywhere in the world. It's always going to be narrow. Embrace it. Get into the Bible and discover it. Don't create it. Get into the Bible, discover what it is. The breastplate of righteousness, what is that? Well, it's deciding to do right. Listen to here. Listen carefully, because Satan can't get you right now if you do this. If you actually know the truth and you actually do the truth, he loses. See, that's what God's saying. Saying, you know what? You can act like you can get beat up by this thing, but I gave you everything you need to win. Because it's not your battle, so you don't have to be afraid. Here's the deal. Know the truth, all right? Know it. And then do it. Yeah, but I don't always feel like doing the truth. I know, our society in general doesn't do that. I mean, we all know what causes obesity, yet we still got a problem. We all know what causes people to be out of shape, but we still got people out of shape. We all know, see, it, why? Because we all know the truth, but we don't do anything with it. And that's what Satan would love you to do. You know what he loves Christians to do? Substitute knowing the truth. Go to church, bingo, and you got all this stuff in your head. And you walk out going, I know a lot of stuff. And Satan goes, yeah, isn't that great? Just don't do any of it. Because if you don't do any of it, I still got you. So the breastplate of righteousness, very important. The breastplate is very important because it really protects the most vital organs. And God says, yeah, number one, you want to protect yourself? Know the truth. You ought to be spending time discovering God every day. You ought to be in the Word. You ought to be looking at it. You ought to be examining your life. You ought to be saying, oh, no, I'm not doing it right. God, forgive me. You ought to be doing that kind of stuff. Because God keeps, you know, he loves you. He knows what you're doing. He wants you to know the truth. and then you need to do it. Then you have your feet prepared. You have your feet ready to go. Why is it feet and shoes? I don't know about you, but shoes matter. You don't go out and fight a war in high heels. Why? I don't think you can run very fast or move very quick. I don't know. I don't wear them. But I assume by looking at them, they're not something you're going to fight a war in. You're going to wear shoes that allow you to move quickly. And so what's interesting here is always be ready to give people this gospel. See, so if you're defending yourself against the evil one, number one, you have the truth. Number two, you do the truth. Number three, you share the truth. See, I mean, that's what you do. And Satan's going, I hate that. Why? Because truth needs to be relevant. We need to get in there and make it so little less black and white, please. No, truth is black and white. There are a lot of gray. Don't get me wrong. There's gray out there. But truth is not gray. It's black and white. Very important. And then realize that as you do those first three things, when you know the truth and you do the truth and you tell the truth to others, Satan starts going after you, man. Why? Because it's at that point you get dangerous. And if you look at the verse, what happens? Pick up your shield. Because what does it do? It quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one. You know what happens? I realize it's not my fight. I need to know the truth. I need to do the truth. I need to tell the truth. And then I need to trust that Almighty God will win this thing. That's faith. So Satan comes to me and goes, Dave, you're a bum. I go, I know. And so does God. And his grace covers me and his mercy. See, I just threw truth at him. And you want some verses, the little sword of the spirit thing? You want those? I can tell you, Satan, what they are. And Satan goes, shut up. I got no power against that stuff. Yeah, I know. You have plenty of power against Dave Wager. And I know you can take Oprah and spin her around your finger. But you have no power against God. And you have no power against truth. So that's where I'm landing. See, it's not Dave. It's not, you know, it's truth. The helmet of salvation. Obviously, they destroy your head. They destroy everything. Your salvation is a protection for you. Satan cannot get those who are true believers. He'll never have them. He's lost them. That helmet protects you from that. Don't you ever forget the fact that if you are a believer, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are a child of the King and you are protected. You will never have that mortal wound to the head. And while you're at it, get offensive. Grab the sword of the Spirit and go after the evil one with God's word. Because you will stab him, he will die. It's the way it is. The armor of God, that's your responsibility. It is God's war. It is God's truth. He is powerful. He will protect you. Your responsibility, you need to know the truth. You know, don't go like 2 Timothy 4. Don't go and just find people that are saying things what you want to hear. In fact, you'd be better off finding somebody who teaches the Bible, who loves God, who says some things that irritate you, and go talk to them. Why? You want to find truth. You're not afraid of finding it. Find the truth. Once you find it, you adjust your life to it. Once you adjust your life to it, Satan goes, uh-oh, trouble. Then you better pick up that shield of faith because Satan's going after you. So you say, well, Satan doesn't bother me a whole lot. No, you haven't got the first two steps yet. He doesn't care about you. You are destroying people anyway, by the way you live. He doesn't need to help you do that. You're doing it fine without his help. But once you pick up truth, and once you act on truth, then he's got to go after you. That's where you pick up your shield. And after you pick up your shield, and give the truth with your shoes, then you pick up your shield, then you understand. As you think that he can mortally wound you, he can't. The helmet of salvation will protect you. And then you pick up that sword of the Spirit and you go after him. Remember yesterday I told you, you keep your enemy on their heels? Yeah. You don't want to only be in a defensive posture. That's why you end with the sword. If Satan's going to go after you, pick up your sword and run after him. Yeah. It's a great picture in my mind. He's running away from you screaming. Why? Because you have the power that can destroy him in your hand. The word of God. And whatever he says, you can flash that at him. Is it important that you know God's word? Yes. Is it important we have Bible studies in the morning? Yes. See, that's why we have them. We have them because this is your only hope. It isn't in religion. It isn't in you trying to be good and disciplined. God's word is your only hope. And if you don't know it, you're in trouble. Don't look at me then. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and thank you for this time again this morning. We pray that you continue to convict us and draw us to yourself. If there are those in this room that have fooled themselves into believing something that's true, would you please point that out to them and let's get that straightened out. Thank you for the food that we're about to eat in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.